Simon Tzadik Vav, Sif Aleph. Simon Tzadik Vav discusses the dinim of a davar charif, sharp food. Sharp foods, like as we're going to learn, there's certain special rules that apply to sharp foods. So the Gemara actually says, right connected to the din of nat bar nat, the Gemara straight away says, if you, let's say if you cook a fish on a fleishiga, or put a fish on a fleishiga plate, so then you're allowed to eat that fish with kutach. Why? Because the fleishiga taste that's in the fish is nat bar nat. But if you cut a tznoin, tznoin is a sharp food, like a radish or something like that, with a fleishiga knife, then you're not allowed to eat that tznoin with chalav. Sounds similar. You cook the fish in a fleishiga pot, you're allowed to eat it with chalav. You cut it with a fleishiga knife, you cut it radish with a fleishiga knife, you're not allowed to. So one thing we see straight away from there, that even though the radish wasn't hot, and the knife wasn't hot, but we see straight away from there that the radish is able to davar charif, when you cut it with a knife, it's able to be beileya from the knife, even though it's tzoin. So it's against the general rule of tzainim tzainim hadacha. If I would place a cold fish on a cold fleishiga plate, so then it wouldn't get a fleishiga taste at all. Even if I place an onion on a fleishiga dish, it wouldn't be beileya. But if I cut a sharp food, I cut a tznoin with a fleishiga knife, then the onion becomes fleishig. Therefore, I'm not allowed to eat that onion with milchigs. Why does it become fleishig? It's beileya, even though it's cold. That's rule number one. That's the first exception of a davar charif. Then the next question is, even if it's beileya from the knife, so there's fleishigs in the knife, because you use the knife to cut meat, hot meat, and then you cut the tznoin. So there's fleishigs in the knife, and then it goes into the tznoin. So shouldn't that be nat bar nat? The meat went into the knife, and then it goes from the knife into the onion. So why shouldn't I be allowed to eat this onion with milk? True, you told me there's an exception to the rule that even though it's cold, but since it's a sharp food, it's able to draw out the taste of the knife. When you cut it, the duchen, the sakina, with the sharpness of the tznoin, the taste goes into the tznoin. Okay, I accept that. But shouldn't it anyways be nat bar nat? If you want to tell me that I cut a tznoin with a treifa knife, a goyisha knife, I use it to cut a tznoin, that tznoin's going to become aser because it's beileya. I understand. Because even though it's tznoin, it's able to be beileya. But if you're cutting it with a baser knife, that was the Gemara was discussing, you cut it with a baser knife, you're not allowed to eat this with chalav. L'chor mitzad din of nat bar nat, you should be allowed to. So Rashi gives two answers to this question. Rashi says, number one, knives are assumed to be dirty. Even though regularly, whenever you use a kli to cook, whenever you use a kli, not when you wash dishes, then when you wash dishes, the dishes are assumed to be dirty. But when you cook in dishes, the dishes are assumed to be clean. That's why generally when you cook a fish in a fleishiga pot, you could mix it with kutach, because it's assumed to be nat bar nat. We don't say there's probably shamnunis on the pot. You have to make sure you have shishim. If you saw there was shamnunis, you knew that it wasn't a clean pot, so then you have to make sure that you have shishim against the shamnunis of basar that's on the kli. But generally, you have a right to assume that it's clean. Masha enkein, a knife is different. A knife is assumed to be dirty. Why is a knife assumed to be dirty? So that's really the explanation is not given here. In other places it says one of the reasons is because a knife was used consistently. In other words, a spoon and a fork, lamashal, you use when you eat. So you eat from it, and then you wash it out and finished. A knife, you use it to cut things throughout the day. So you don't always wash it off right after you use it. So the food really gets stuck on there really, really well. And that's why even when you're going to wash it regularly, it's not all going to come off. Unless you mamish, what's called, you do ni'itza bakarka. If you stick it in the ground 10 times in different places and the earth is hard, that's the only way you could really clean the knife well, that you'll be able to use. So that's taka what you're supposed to do. We learned previously. That's taka what you're supposed to do in the end of Simon Tzadik Dalet. Let's say you cut, you had a fleishiga knife, you cut a hard piece of cheese. So now some cheese residue is stuck on the knife. But it didn't get absorbed in the knife because it wasn't hot. You didn't cut a pizza with it. If you cut a pizza with the fleischige knife, you got a kasher the knife, hagala. You didn't cut it. It's a cold cheese. The taste didn't go into the knife. So could you just wash off the knife in cold water and that's it? So it's not enough because you cut a hard piece of cheese with the knife, it sticks to the knife. It's not going to come off so easy. So you have to do nitsa bakarka. That's the proper way to clean the knife. So since the knife is assumed to be dirty, that means there's shamnunis on the knife. That's why you don't have the heter of nat bar nat. When you cook the fish in a fleishige pot, you had the heter of nat bar nat. Why? Because it was a clean pot. So therefore, it went from the meat to the pot, from the pot to the fish. But when you cut its tznoin with a knife, then it wouldn't be nat bar nat because it's going directly from the meat residue into the tznoin. The same thing would be if you cut a piece of fish with a fleishige knife, it wouldn't be nat bar nat. But by a fish, if it's a cold fish, it wouldn't even go into the fish at all. You could just rinse it off because it doesn't even go into the fish because it's cold. By its tznoin, by a davar charif, where you have the special chumrah, that even though it's cold, it's able to be beileya from the knife. Now, and we were just answering, why is it not nat bar nat? It's not nat bar nat because you're dealing with actual meat residue. So that would be true even if you're cutting the fish. The difference is, if the fish is cold, it doesn't get absorbed in the fish. So you just have some meat residue on the surface of the fish, so all you have to do is scrub it off. So that's the first answer. According to the first answer in Rashi, if the knife would taka be clean, let's say you scrubbed it, you made sure after you used it, you washed it off right away, and there's a way that Rabbi Akiva Eiger brings down from the Taras Chatas. There is a way you could check, even though a knife is assumed to be dirty, but if you pour water on it and you see that the water slides down the knife without getting interrupted, without stopping, that will prove to you, that will show you that it's perfectly clean and there's no residue on it. So let's say you did this check on the knife, and you see that there's no residue on it, and you cut a davar charif with it. So true, the davar charif is beileya, the fleishige taste from the knife, but that would be what? Nat bar nat. So you'd be allowed to eat the davar charif with the. You'd be allowed to eat this tznoin with gvina, according to the first answer in Rashi. But then Rashi comes with a second answer. Rashi says, no, we're talking over here, even if it's a clean knife, even if you did this test and you made sure there's no residue on it, aval bikain, you still wouldn't be allowed to eat its tznoin with kutach. Why? Because that's another rule, that a davar charif, the taste, not only does it absorb the taste from the knife, but it takes out the ikar tam. If it would be a fish that you cooked in a fleishige pot, so the fleishige taste that goes into the fish is a secondary taste. It's a tam kolosh. Can turn into basar b'chalav, so you could eat it with cheese. But the tznoin, when you cut it with a fleishige knife, it gets the ikar tam. So it's ki'ilu, it's a tam rishon. It's ki'ilu, the meat taste, it's ki'ilu, this tznoin was cooked directly with the meat, that the meat went directly into the tznoin. So therefore, the taste, the meat taste that's in the tznoin is not a tam sheni of basar, it's a tam rishon of basar. Really, it's a tam sheni, because first it went into the pot, and then it went into the tznoin. First it went into the knife, and then it went into the tznoin. But, halachically, it's counted as a tam rishon, because it's a davar charif, it's able to take out the ikar tam. Okay? And this is how the Mechaber paskens, like the second answer in Rashi. Why did I bother you with the first answer in Rashi if you don't pasken that way? Because other places can pasken that way. So even though we don't pasken like that, but sometimes with the Yevit, certain situations when there's other tzadim as well, we're gonna perhaps rely on that first answer that we do say nat bar nat even by a davar charif. But regular halacha is that the halacha of a davar charif is that we do not say nat bar nat by a davar charif. Therefore, even if it's a perfectly clean knife, still this davar charif you're not allowed to mix. If you cut the tznoin with a fleishige knife, even if it's perfectly clean, you're not allowed to eat this tznoin together with milchigs. Even b'diavad that it was mixed with milchigs, you're not allowed to eat it. Unlike nat bar nat, which you're allowed to eat it. Either you could l'chatchila mix it, or if it's al yedei bishul, then only b'diavad that it was mixed, you could eat it according to the Rama. But we don't give it the heter of nat bar nat. Now with that akdama, we could already start reading the siman inside. Zakta mechaber tznoin oisilka. two examples of a davar charif that are mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about three types of davar charif. One place in the Gemara in Chulin, it mentions a tznoin. That's some sort of a radish. There's different types of radishes. So it's one particular type is considered a davar charif. Silka's beets, also maybe certain types of beet, that's considered a davar charif. Again, when it comes to the silka, it's not even so clear in the Rishonim if it's really such a davar charif. But whatever it is, it has a koyach to draw out the taste, even betzayin. It has this chumrah of a davar charif. So those two things are mentioned in the Gemara in Chulin, that if you would cut the tznoin or the silkal, let's say with a fleishig knife, you wouldn't be allowed to mix it with milchigs because it is vayleya. And then in a different Gemara, it talks about chiltis. Chiltis is a very sharp herb, that it's if it was cut with a goyish knife, so it's aser, it becomes straight, it's vayleya betzayin, and therefore you're not allowed to eat them. So the tznoin and the silka we're discussing are cholin concerning basar to chalav, and this chiltis was discussed in a different gemara concerning being cut with a goyish knife. Now, when it comes to the chiltis, so the gemara asks, why should it be asar? The rule is, what happens if I cook kosher food in a treifa kli? But the treifa kli is ein ben yomei. Wasn't used for treifas in the last 24 hours. So what's the halacha of my food b'di'eved? Mutter. Because the time is pagum. Generally, the rule is, stam kelim einem b'nei yomei. We have a right to assume, whenever you have a kli, you don't know for sure if it was used for treifas or whatever it is, the situation. If it's basar the chalav, you don't sure it was used for basar. You're not sure if it was used for hot iser in the last 24 hours. You have a right to assume that it was not used in the last 24 hours. Stam kelim einem b'nei yomei. If you remember that it was used, so then it could aser. But if it's stam, you don't know, so then you have a right to assume it's einem b'nei yomei. That's the general rule. So therefore, if a goy cooks kosher food, or if you cook kosher food on a goy shapat by mistake, so generally speaking, as a rule, b'di'eved, that food's going to be mutter, because stam kelim ein b'nei, unless you know that that pot was used in the last 24 hours for iser. But usually it'll be mutter. So we don't know for a fact that the goy used his knife for treifa iser in the last 24 hours. That the goy cut up a half piece of chazer with that knife in the last 24 hours. I don't know, maybe the last time he had chazer was last week, and what all he used it for in the last 24 hours was to make a salad, kosher vegetables. Why don't we assume that? Why is it asking the chiltis? If stam kelim ein b'nei yomei, why is the chiltis becoming aser? So you see from there that a davar charif, chiltis, is different, the Gemara says. Because it's mechal yalei l'shvach, that's the lashon. It takes the taste, the pogum taste that's in the kli, ein b'nei yomei, and it revives it, and it makes it l'shvach. So it doesn't only take out. So we have now three klalim by a davar charif. Number one, it's able to cause a bliya even though it's tzaynin. That's clear from the Gemara. Number two, according to one Pirush in Rashi, not only is it able to cause a bliya, but if it's from basar to chala, we still don't say nat bar nat, because it takes out the tam rishon. And then another klal that we see from the other Gemara, by the Chiltis, that even though the kli is Eina Ben Yomei, it still takes out a tam l'shvach, it takes out a fresh taste. Three rules, exceptions if you want to say, exceptions to the rule that we say when it comes to a davar charif. However, when it comes to, that the Gemara says regarding a Chiltis. So Tosfos over there has a question: what about other dvarim charifim? There's really two questions that we have to ask ourselves. Number one, we spoke about three types of davar charif: tznoin, silka, and chiltis. What about an onion? What about a piece of garlic? What about chrein? horseradish. What about these other things that we know to be sharp and bitter? No, something is a radish, some other type of radish. Tamcha, horseradish, grain. What about these things? Does it also have a din of a davar charef? Let's just say for the ikar din, that it's a belay of a tzainin, the basic halacha, which is clear in the Gemara, that a davar tzainin, that a davar charef through duchka de sakina is belay of a tzainin. Does that apply to a tznain, a chiltis, and a silka? That the Gemara says it applies to. What about other shar dvarim charifim, onions, chrein, these kind of things? Does it also have that chumrah? I cut an onion with a fleishig knife. Does the onion become fleishig now? Cut it with a treifa knife. Does it become usser? Or an onion? The Gemara never spoke about an onion. That's Tosis, one of Tosis's questions. Shar dvarim charifim. What about shar dvarim charifim? Well, maybe it's not sharp enough. Or the Gemara speaks about these kind of things, and it applies to everything. Not so clear. So we assume that it applies to everything. That the halacha, we assume that it applies to everything. However, you should know that there are shittas in Rishonim that say that no, it only applies to these three things that the Gemara speaks about. Other things, even though they seem sharp to us, they don't have this extra chumrah. Okay? All right, that's point number one. Then Tavis raises another question. This chumrah that the Gemara said about chiltis, that it's mechal yulei l'shvach, that even if it's ein ben yomi, but it's able to make a nice and tam l'shvach. Does that apply to other? The Gemara said it about a chiltis. What's about a tznoin? A tznoin is for sure a davar charef. But the context that the Gemara said about a tznoin, the Gemara didn't talk about ein ben yomi, that it's able to make it even when it's ainu b'nyayme. Do we say that it's mechal yulei l'shvach even by other dvarim charifim, besides for chiltis? Or maybe chiltis is different, because chiltis is really, really sharp. I don't know. Chiltis is so sharp it can burn a hole through the gemara. It can burn a hole through the behem of the animal if it eats too much of it. It's so sharp. So maybe only chiltis. So what's the answer to this? The answer to this, l'maisa it's a machlokes in the Rishonim. There's two opinions. Both opinions are going to be quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It's good to know how to refer to the two opinions. One opinion is known as the opinion of the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is the Machmir opinion. Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Balei HaTosfos, the Sefer HaTruma, he holds that it applies to all Dvarim Charifim. All Dvarim Charifim have this chumrah of chiltis, that even if the kli is ene ben yoimai, it's belaya betzainen, you don't say not per not, and, well, not per not is actually a separate question, but it's belaya betzainen, and it makes it a ben yoimai. The Marami Rutenberg is of the opinion that only chiltus is mechayel eleshvach. Other dvarim charifim, although they're belaya betzainen, but it's only going to be a problem if the sakin is a ben yoimai. But if the sakin is ain't a ben yoimai, so then it's not going to be a problem. It's not mechal yulei l'shvach. Davar charev does not have that third rule that it is able to make from a ain't a ben yoimai into a ben yoimai, into a tam l'shvach. Only by chiltz, it's a special exception, just that particular herb. It's extremely sharp. Other things, even chrein, horseradish, these other things, even snoin, the Gemara clearly talks about, will not have this special chumrah. Okay? Now let's see inside. Tznoin or silka shachatcha mesakin shel basar. If you had a tznoin or a silka that you cut with a fleishig knife, ben yoimai, only if the fleishig knife was a ben yoimai, that it was used for hot basar in the last 24 hours. Or let's say the sakin was ein ben yoimai, but the knife has actual basar on it. So either of these two things, so it doesn't make a difference if it's ein ben yoimai, because that just makes the balua in the sakin pogum. But the mamashas on the sakin we paskin, that always stays fresh. So therefore, If you cut the tznoin, so it's because the davar harf and the zduchka de sakinet, so it's beileya even mitzainin, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it, and we paskin that we don't say nat bar nat, right? Because the Mechaber says even if it's clean, if it's a ben yoymoy, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it with chalav. It means the Mechaber is paskining that we don't say nat bar nat by a davar charef. But this opinion is which opinion? Sefer Truma or the Marami Rutenberg? Sefer Truma. Only if it's a ben yoymoy will it be a problem. If it's ain't a ben yoymoy, then what? And the flesh you can taste that's going into the tznayin is pogum. I do whatever I want with that tznayin. Yeah, so this first opinion quoted in the Shulchan Aruch is a Sefer Truma, a Machmedic opinion that... I'm sorry. Basar ben, only if it's a ben yoyma. I'm sorry, this is the opinion of the Marami Rutenberg, that it's only going to be a problem if it's a ben yoyma. But if it's ain't a ben yoyma, correct, shkoyach. If it's ain't a ben yoyma, it's going to be mutter. That's the opinion of Marami Rutenberg. It's the lenient opinion. Then he goes, we'll come back to this, yeah? Then he goes, V'yesh Omrim, because we just discussed it outside, so I want to show you it inside first, and then we'll discuss the other details. V'yesh Omrim, I'm skipping a few lines in the Mechaber. Duhu adin le'ena ben yoymai. Sefer Truma holds that it applies also to ena ben yoymai. Why? Because the davar charef is m'chayle le'shvach, even though what kind of davar charef are we discussing? It's noyne silka. Now the Mechaber doesn't say v'hu adin le'ena b'yayim v'hu makunach. So even though there's no shamnunis on the knife, it's only balua, and the balua is pogum because it's ena b'yayim. Still, it's going to have a basar, a fresh basar tam in it, because by davar charef we don't say the heter of ena b'yayim. That's the sefer truma. Now, the Mechaber doesn't talk about other dvarim charefim over here. He talks about what the Gemara was talking about. It's noin or a silka. Right? Those are clearly okay. But in Sif Beis, you see that the Mechaber holds, like most of the Rishonim, that it's not just those particular Dvarim Charifim that are mentioned in the Gemara, but those are just examples. And it applies to all things, all sharp vegetables. Like he continues in Sif Beis, that the same thing if you cut... garlic or onions or leek or any sharp things, even sour, the Mechaber says sour fruits, you know, like a sour apple, something like that, a fruit that's very sour, would also have a din of a davar charef for these halachas. So that's what the Mechaber paskens like. Okay. Now, how much of the tznoin, let's say I cut a tznoin with a treifa knife, so the tznoin is becoming aser. How much of the tznoin is becoming aser? Or I'm cutting the tznoin with a fleishig knife. How much of the batzel of the tznoin is aser for me to eat with chalav? In other words, up until we're in the tznoin, how deep into the tznoin is the taste of the treifa knife or the vasser knife going into the tznoin? How deep is it going? Is it spreading into the whole piece, to the whole onion? Or is it only going into a certain section of the onion? We said before in Simon Tzadik Dal that if you cut a piece of meat, a hot piece of meat with a milchige knife, so how deep does the milchige taste that's in the knife go into the piece of meat? Spreads bekulei. Agav duchka de sakina. We said, why is it in a regular case of tzli? So the Shach explained that because it's duchka de sakina, pushing into the hot meat, therefore the taste doesn't just go kedei netila like regular case of tzli, but it spreads through and through. That's how we paskind. Yeah? So how much over here now? It's also duchka de sakina, right? So how much of the tznoin becomes aser? So three opinions are brought in the Rishonim. Beis Yosef brings three opinions about it. One opinion is that it spreads through and through. That's Rajba's opinion. One opinion is that it just goes kedei netila. It's the Ra'ah, the Ra'ivet, other Rishonim. And I think there's an opinion that it only goes Kedei Klipa. So we, Paskin, the Mechaber Paskins, as we'll see inside, the Mechaber Paskins, that it goes Kedei Netila. That's how deep, that's how much of the onion gets a basar taste or a treifa taste from the knife. It doesn't spread it. Let's say you have a big, whole, big fat onion. like this, and you cut it. So only that, the gedei netila of where you cut, that's what's going to receive the basar taste or the trefa taste. On both sides, by the way, of the cut. If you cut an onion in half, so the taste is going to go into the gedei netila of this half of the onion and the gedei netila of this half of the onion. But it's not going to spread further than gedei netila. That's how in the base yosef he has a shtickel arichas, and that's how he paskins. There's a raya because it says it's aser lechol b'kutach. Cut its loin with a fleishig knife. It's aser. Why you say it's aser? It's only kedei klipa, but then we would say take a klipa. Aser means a significant amount of it becoming aser. Not just klipa. If it would be just klipa, it would say take off a klipa. It wouldn't say aser. You don't refer to something that was neser kedei klipa, and you say it became aser. Once you say it became aser, it's mashma either kulai, or you could taina maybe kedei netila. Yeah? So by the chiltis, the whole chiltis became aser. Why did the whole chiltis became... So therefore, that's why the Rashba wanted to learn that the whole thing becomes aser, because it spreads into the whole thing. So how could we say that it's only kedei netila? That's because the chiltis you chopped up into little pieces. So each piece was the kedei netila. Each piece was smaller than kedei netila, so that's why the whole thing was aser. But when you have a big onion and you're slicing it in half, so you want to know how much of of that half of onion became aser, then taka, it's only kedei netila. That's how the mechaber passed. It's only kedei netila. Let's see it inside. How much of the onion is getting a basar taste? We're going back up now. In other words, this goes according to both opinions. In other words, we had a machlokes if it's a problem only by a ben yoimai, or even by a ein ben yoimai. That was the machlokes that we addressed a minute ago. How whatever you hold as a problem, if it's a ben yoimai, it's a problem according to everybody. And if it's a Eina Ben Yoimai, so then it's a problem according to the Sefer Truma. Two opinions. He's not paskening, yeah? So when it's a problem, how much of the onion is a problem? So we're reading, even though the Mechaber is saying it in the words of the first opinion, even though he's saying it in the words of the Merami Rutenberg, that it's only a problem if it's a Ben Yoimai, when the Mechaber says how much of the onion becomes Aser, he's talking in the words of the Merami Rutenberg. That it's only a problem if it's a ben yoimai. How much is a problem? And then he goes on to say kedei netila. But that applies to both opinions. The machlokes was a separate question. Is it a problem? Is it also a problem if it's eina ben yoimai? But wherever it is a problem, this right, each opinion according to what he holds, how much is it a problem? Zakta mechaber ad sheyitel mimakim achetach kedei netila smakoim. You have to take off a kedei netila. How big is the kedei netila? Right, shehu ka'oyve etzba, the thickness of a finger. Which finger? So it's explained in other sources, the thumb. The thickness of the thumb. So I don't remember, and I haven't checked up how much that is. I don't know, it's about 3/4 of an inch, 1/2 an inch, something like that. Oy, sheyitamenu v'lo yehei b'tam basar. If you taste its nine, and you see that it doesn't taste like basar, so then you can mix it with chalav.
Who can taste that, right?
No. Oh, and you. When it was cut with a trefa knife, you want to know if it has a taste of iser in it, so the yid can taste it. He has to give it to the goy to taste. The mechaber taka held, you give it to a goy to taste. I mean, we didn't really learn the ikar sugya, that's in Taruvis, but it came up a few times already in Bas B'chalof 2. And according to the Shitas HaMechaber, we go like the Gemara says, you give it to a goy to taste. You want to see if it has a taste of iser. You cook basar in a fleishig pot, you want to see if it has a taste. I'm sorry, you cook basar in a milchig pot, you want to see if it tastes like chalav. So you give it to a goy to taste. You can't taste it, maybe it's basar b'chalav. You give it to a goy to taste. So same thing here. You want to taste. You could have gotten a taste of basar. Because of davar charef. Did it practically, the maisa, get a taste? You taste it. If you don't taste basar, then you know it doesn't have a basar taste. Therefore, you can mix it with the chalav. Now, when it came to that you cooked, let's say, the basar in the milchig pot, you want to know if it became basar b'chalav. So zikr, the yid can taste it, right? So the only question is, you give it to a goy. So there, the mechaber said, you give it to a goy. And the Ramah says, we don't trust the goy. But over here, Over here, it's just, you just want to, it's a power of a food, it's a tzanoin. You want to know if it tastes like basar. If it doesn't taste like basar, you'll be able to mix it with the chalav. So here, maybe the Ramah would agree that you could, because it's not a question of trusting a guy. So here already there's two, it depends why the Ramah says you're not allowed to. The Levush learns that the reason why the Ramah holds you're not allowed to trust a guy is not because there's a problem of trusting a guy. We don't trust our taste buds nowadays. We're not good tasters. Even if you're a Yid, we don't trust that you're going to pick up if there's a buster taste. So therefore, according to that, even if it's, even though in this case, technically, you could taste it yourself, but we don't trust your own taste. And the Shach and other poiskim understand the problem of why the Ramah says that we don't rely on tasting. It's because we're not trusting the goy. But the yid, where there's no trust issue, you could taste to see if it's manushach. If there's no taste, then al pi halacha, it's not fleishigs. Yeah. So therefore, even according to Ramah, in this case, the yid could taste. The only thing is not lechatchila. We don't say lechatchila go and taste it. And if you don't taste basar, you can lechatchila go and mix it with. If you were eating from this tznayin, you had a piece of this, and later this tznayin was mixed with chalav. So then we'll ask you. By the way, when you took a bite into the onion, did it taste like basar or not? If you say it didn't, so then you could eat, even though now the onion's mixed with chalav, be able to eat it. So it's just bedieved if it was already mixed with the chalav, then we could rely, and you happen to have tasted the onion beforehand, then and you tasted that there's no basar, so then we're going to say that this, now that you mix the onion together with the chalav, you don't have basar b'chalav, because there's no basar in the onion. But to lechatchila go and... but the eved means that you already mixed it after you tasted it. By mistake, you mixed it with the chalav. But not to say to taste it, and if it doesn't have a basar taste, go ahead and mix it with the chalav. No. Lechatchila, we don't want you. Yeah, lechatchila, we don't want you to do that. But what's the area that you have to taste? What's the area that, if you're not tasting, what's the area that became basar? What's the area that got a basar tam? Only the G'day Netila. That's what the Mechaber paskens. V'im loy not al mehem. No, we're skipping back. V'im loy not al mehem G'day Netila smakim. If you did not take off a G'day Netila, also you didn't taste it. So you have to assume that there's a basar taste in the Kedei Netila. Ubishlam b'chalav, and then you went and cooked it with chalav. Tzarech shishim keneged mashanaga miasakin. You need shishim against the basar that's in the onion, right? However much basar is in the onion. How much basar is in the onion? So the Mechaber says, the place keneged makim asakin. The part of the sakin that you used, it was a fleshig sakin. So the part of the sakin that you used to cut the onion, that the taste is going from that part of the sakin into the onion. So you need shishim against that part of the knife that was used. So let's say you used 2 inches worth of the knife, of the blade, to cut your onion. So however much the volume of those 2 inches of the knife is, if the volume of those 2 inches of the knife is half a kazayis, so then you'll have to have shishim. So then there's half a kazayis worth of basar in this onion. So then you'll have to have shishim in the milk against half a kazayis. You'll have to have 30 kazayisim of milk in order for the milk to become mutter. That's how much. You have to have shishim against the basar that's in the onion. How much basar is in the onion? However much the knife was. So we're saying it's not against the whole knife, even though the whole knife might be 10 kazesim big. It was only the area of the knife that you used to cut, the area of the blade that you used to cut the onion, that's the part of the knife that went into the onion. That's what you have to have shishim against. That's what the Mechaber is saying over here. Keneged masha nogami hasakin, the part of the sakin that touched, that was used to cut the onion. Well, in other words, we don't say that the taste comes from the whole entire knife. Only from that area that was used to cutting. The only thing is, the marshal, the shachat taskot, the marshal, who paskins that you have to be mashar against the whole knife, because we don't know. It's the same thing with the spoon. Because we don't know which part you stuck. Oh, those when you cut a piece of meat.
Yeah.
In a chinami. We don't know which part of the knife you used. And we have to assume that you use the whole entire blade. So you don't need shishim against the whole knife, but you need shishim against the whole blade. Because you can't be sure you only use a certain percentage, you only use 2 inches of the knife. The shach, or the handle, yeah. The handle usually is not used to cut, so you don't need shishim against the handle. The shach, though, says, and this is obviously what the Mechaber holds, is that no, you only need against the portion that you used, which means if you claim to remember how much of the knife you use. Of course, if you don't remember how much of the knife you used, we have to assume that you use the whole blade. And you'll have to have shishim against the whole blade. But if you do remember, if you claim to remember how much of the knife you used, so then... you know you only use 2 inches, so you have to have shishim against the volume of those 2 inches. That's the maximum amount of basa that's in your onion. Right? Who adin, says the Mechaber. L'chotcham b'sakin shel goy. The same halacha as if you cut it with a treifa knife, you still don't need to have against the whole onion. Because there can't be more iser in the onion than a knife. The maximum amount of nevela, just like we said before, the maximum amount of basar that could be in the onion is the section of the knife that you used. So let's say if the onion is 5 kazayas big, but if the section of the knife that you used is only half a kazayas, so it's only half a kazayas of basar. Same thing. How much nevela is in the onion? Not more than half a kazayas of nevela there. So therefore, when you cook this onion afterwards in the soup, so how much do you have shishim against in order to be matter the rest of the soup? Only a half a kazayas. Now, how much of the onion will be asur? The whole netila, wherever you cut, that's a kadei netila of contact with the knife, that will be aser. But when you want to know what you're going to have shishim against, so what's the maximum amount of basar tam that's in this whole onion, that's however much of the knife. However much of the knife that you used. So in our example, it's only half a kazayas. And the 2 inches of the knife they used is only half a kazayas, so then that's the maximum amount of nevela that's in the piece of meat. That's in the onion. And therefore, for the soup, you only have to have shishim against. There's no difference, according to the Mechaber, if I'm using a basar knife or if I'm using a treifa knife. In other words, if I'm using a basar knife and I want to know to cook that onion afterwards with milk, what do I need shishim against? Or if it's a treifa knife, what do I have to have shishim against? Both cases is the maximum amount of taste that you have in the onion, maximum amount of iser that you have, is the part of the knife that you used. This is, again, all assuming that we say the maximum amount is the knife. That's assuming that the onion is bigger than the knife. So we're teaching you that you don't have to have against the whole onion. It's enough to have just against the part of the knife. And the onion is bigger than the knife, or the part of the knife that you used. It's not really the onion, it's the gedei netila of the onion, because that's the only part of the onion that's getting the taste anyway. So if the gedei netila of the onion, or the gedei netilois, if you cut up the onion into a bunch of pieces, if the gedei netilois of the onion are greater than the part of the knife that you used, so the Mechaber will say, you still only have to have against the part of the knife, because that's the maximum amount of basar or iser that you have in your onion. And the Ramah continues on this. V'im chotchon dak dak. But let's say you didn't just slice the onion in half. Yeah? You cut it up into a bunch of little pieces. Then, sarach l'shar, shishim neged kalatz noin. Then you have to have shishim against the whole entire tznoin. Why do you have to have shishim against the whole entire tznoin? Because over here already, the kadena, each piece is a kadena tila. Because you cut it up into small pieces. So all the kadena tilas are aser. So therefore, you have to have shishim against all the kadena tilas, against the whole entire tznoin. Didn't we say before that even though every netila will be usser, but what's the maximum amount of nevela that I have in my onion altogether? Whatever came from the knife. So even if all the kedei netilas are bigger than the makim of the sakin, but the maximum amount of isser that I have amongst all the kedei netilas of the tznoin can't be more. The amount of isser they have in it can't be more than what's in the sakin. So I don't know what I have to have shishim against. Why do I have to have shishim against the whole, all the kedei netilas together? Why do I have to have shishim against the whole tznoin? So the answer is, if we're assuming that the Ramah is referring to a case that you cut it up with a treif, a knife, this is how Taz is learning pshat. We're going to assume that the Ramah is talking about a treif, because we just finished talking about a treif, a knife. The Mechaber just says, v'hu adin l'chatum sakin shogoy. You cut with a treif, a knife. And on that, the Ramah says that you're going to have shishim, that the Mechaber said you only need against the knife, and the Ramah says you have to have against the whole tznoin. Why does the Ramah say you have to have against the whole tznoin? Because chaticha nasis nevela. If it's a treif, a knife, you do have more isser. Don't tell me that the maximum amount of isser that you have in the whole tznoin is the part of the knife that you used. Even if the onion is bigger than the knife, but if the whole onion became aser because you cut it up into pieces, so now chatichan asas nevela, the whole onion is considered iser. I have to have shishim against the whole onion.
What if you don't say chatichan asas nevela?
Now the mechaber who does not say chatichan asas nevela b'shari surim, so he'll be able to say, although the whole tznoin is aser for you to eat when you cut it with a sak and shilgoy, if you cut it up into little pieces, but what's the maximum amount of iser that you have within the tznoin in terms of having to have shishim against? That's only the amount in a sakin.
So he's arguing clearly.
It's a machloikas in mechaber amad, and it, this depends on the or in our general machloikas. If we say chadichanas nevela b'shari surim, l'shitas a mechaber that we don't say chadichanas nevela b'shari surim. That's what he says. Who adin l'chotchem b'sakin shogoy? It's the same halacha. It's the same halacha if you cut it with a fleishig knife, if you cut it with an iser knife, even if you cut it up into little pieces, and so therefore all the pieces are aser, either aser completely or aser to eat with chalav. But what's the maximum amount of basar or the maximum amount of iser I have in the whole tznoin altogether? That's not more than the sakin, if the sakin is smaller than the tznoin. And therefore, the maximum you have to have shishim against, in other words, to be matar the chalav or to be matar the vegetable soup, the maximum you have to have is against the makim asakin. That's even by a treif, a knife. Because we don't say chatichanas is nevela. Mashenk in the Ramah, who says chatichanas is nevela. So if it's a basar knife and you cut it up into a bunch of little pieces, so true, you can't, there's nothing to take off a kedei netila, right? So the whole onion cannot be used with milchigs. But if you did throw it into the pot, what do you have to have shishim against? If the onion is greater than the makim asakin, it's enough to have against the makim asakin. Yeah? Mashenkin, if it's a sakin shel iser, so if the onion is greater than the makim asakin, even if the onion is greater than the makim asakin, you have to have against the whole onion because chatichanas is nevela. If the onion is smaller than the makim asakin, by the way, this is an obvious clarification, but I want to just make sure everybody has it clear. If the onion is, or the netilos of the onion, whatever you're dealing with, if you cut it once, it's just a kedei netila. If you cut it a bunch of times, you're dealing with the whole onion. If the kedei netilos of the onion is smaller than the makim hasakin which you used, that it was a very small onion, or it was an onion you only cut it once, so there's just one kedei netila to deal with, that kedei netila happens to be smaller than the makim hasakin, so then everyone agrees you'll never have to have more than shishim against the kedei netila, whether it's basar or whether it's iser. Because you don't have more than the kedei netila. You don't have more if the kedei netila, since the taste only went into kedei netila, can hold more than itself. So if the kedei netila is only half a kazayis and the makim asakin is three kazaisim, so that doesn't matter if it's a sakin shel iser or it's a sakin shel basar. The maximum amount that you're dealing with is the kedei netila. So we're here discussing if the netila, or the gedei netila, is when you cut it up into a bunch of little pieces, is all greater than the makim asakin. So that's where we're mechalek, that the machaber says it's always enough to have against the makim asakin, and the Ramah makes a difference between basar and iser. So lefi zeh, the Taz points out, this is if the Ramah is referring to asakin shel iser, and he's discussing a case where the tznoin is greater than the makim asakin, so he's choylik on the machaber, because the machaber will say even in such a case that it's asakin shel iser and the tznoin is greater than the makim asakin, you still only have to have against the makim asakin because you don't say chanasas nevela. So the Ramah shouldn't just say v'im chatchon, like continuing what the machaber is saying. The Ramah should be choylik on the machaber, right? He should say v'yesh aimrim. That the dan that we say chatich nas nevela b'shari sorim, then imchat chandak tak, and the batzel is greater than the sak makim asak, and you'll have to have shishim against the whole batzel by a sak and chalis. This is the pirush of the Taz, how he understands the Ramah. The Shach teaches the Ramah differently, but he doesn't argue with the dinim. The dinim are the same the way we said it over. That according to the Mechaber, there's no difference between a sack and shell basa or a sack and shell iser. In both cases, you only have to have shishim against whatever is less. In the case that the sakin is less than the kedei netilas, you have to have against. It's enough to have against the sakin. In a case that the kedei netila is less than the sakin, it's enough to have against the kedei netila. And according to the Ramah, that would be true by a sack and shell basa. You always have to have against what's less. But by a sack and shell iser, so you always have to have against the netila, whether it's more or less than the sakin. That is the halacha according to... So those that halacha is the same according to Shach and Taz. The only difference, people get confused very often over here, is the only difference is how they zetz ayin derah, how they understood what the Ramah is discussing. Taz understood the Ramah is discussing a case of a sakin shel iser, and that the batzel was greater, the gedei netilas were greater than the sakin. And the Ramah is expressing his shita of chatichan asan veda b'shari surim. That's why you have to have against the whole batzel. Klar? The Shach just understands the Ramah to be talking about a sack and shell basar. And therefore, he's not arguing in the Mechaber. When the Ramah says you have to have, if you cut it up small, you have to have against the whole onion, he's saying even by a sack and shell basar, you have to have against the whole onion. Why? When would you have to have against the whole onion? Because we're discussing a case that the onion or all the kedei netilas together of the onion is less than the makim asakin. Like we said before, you always have to have what's left. By basar, everyone agrees you always have to have whatever's less. So the Ramah's discussing, when the Ramah said you have to have against the tznoin, he's talking about asakin shel basar. Just the case was that the tznoin was less than the makim asakin. And in that, there's no machoikas between the mechaber and Ramah. That's why he doesn't say v'yesh ayimrim. By basar, everyone agrees you always go by what's less. So the Shach understood that he's discussing a case that the batzel was less than the makim asakin. The Taz understood that we're discussing a case that the batzel is more than the makim asakin. So he understood that the Ramah must be talking about b'shari surim. The Shach is discussing a case that the batzel is less than the makim asakin. So therefore, it could even be talking about basar. And this din is not a machlokes between the mechaber. In a chinami, he agrees that if it would be a sakin shel iser, so if it would be a sakin shel iser, so if the in the case that the batzel is less than the makim asakin, still wouldn't be an afkamina between the mechaber and ma. You still only have to have against. You can never have to have more than the kedei netilas. You never have to have more than the batzel. But in a case that the batzel would taka be greater, in the case that the kedei netilas would be greater than the makim asakin. So by Basar Bechalov, so then it would be the same, the Mechaber Amah, Mashenke Meshari Surim, it would be Machlokes between the Mechaber Amah. So again, the Shachtas are not arguing what the din would be. They're just interpreting what the Ramah, the case that the Ramah is discussing differently. No, the Shach has the Taz on the other hand has a good deal because we just finished discussing a sakin shel goy, and then on that he says be'im chat chandak dak. Whatever, it's shver either way. Okay, I want to try to finish up to the two dots in the Ramah now. V'yesh oimrim she'im chatach tznoin v'sakin shel iser kula yaser. We were just talking now that how much does the through the davar charif, through the duchke de sakina, how deep does the bliya penetrate? How much of the tznayin gets a bliya of basar or gets a bliya of nevela kedei netila? That was the opinion of the Ra'ah, the Ravid, many Rishayin. That's how the Mechaber Paskin says. It says the Ramah, but the Rajba holds that it's kuloi. Rajba holds that when you cut an onion with a fleshig knife, the basar goes into the whole onion, not just into kedei netila. Even if you didn't cut it up small pieces, it goes into the whole onion. And the same thing if you cut it with a sack and shell iser, the whole batzel becomes aser. So different opinions. How do we paskin? Says the Ramah. Well, first let me just finish reading. So if you cut it with a sack and shell iser, so kulei aser. Chayin im chatem a sack and shell basar aser kulei b'chalav. So then the whole you can't just cut away a kedei netila, cut away an inch of the onion, and the rest of the onion will be able to use. Yeah, the whole batzel becomes aser to eat with chalav. So what's the halacha? So he says, "V'chein oigin lechatchila, aval b'diyeved ein lesser akadei netila lechatchila." So then, you're supposed to assume that the whole entire onion became milchiks. I'm sorry, the whole entire onion. Let's say, an example, became fleishiks. So you can't just cut away a little bit and eat the rest with milchiks. But b'diyeved, that it was, let's say it was cut with a treif, a knife. You want to know how much of the onion became treif? Only the kedei netila. The rest of the onion you could eat. And the same thing with chalav. If you happen to cook this, you cut an onion with a fleishig knife, and then you cook that onion with milk. So how much do you need chishim against? And it's in the case that the onion is bigger than the knife. So do you need chishim against? No, I'm sorry, in the case that the knife is bigger than the onion. Yeah? So do you need against the whole onion? In other words, did it spread into the whole onion, so you need shishim against the whole onion, or did it only spread in kedei netila, so it's enough to have shishim against the kedei netila? So then we're going to say it only went into kedei netila. You're not going to have more than you're not going to have shisha more than kedei netila. That's how we paskin. No, it doesn't have to do with chanam. The basar, we're discussing a basar case. No, and even by iser, we want to know how much of the batzel became aser. Hanan, fine. So even if the knife would be, the Hanan would only affect the din if the knife would be less than the kedei netila. You still have to have shishim against the whole kedei netila. One or how much taka becomes aser? Is it the whole thing or only only the kedei netila? So by iser, by sak and shel iser, by the yavin, we say it was only kedei netila. By sak and shel basar, so we say lechatchila, you can't eat the whole onion, cannot be eaten with chalav. Can't just cut away part of it and eat the rest with chalav. But the evidence that it was cooked with chalav, what do you need shishim against? Only the kedei netila. If you have shishim against whatever you need, when you cooked it with chalav, you have shishim against whatever you need. So that we already discussed in Simen Tzadik Dalet. I think we spoke about that, right? Does the onion become mutter or not? If it has a blias iser, then we say efshel sachti aser, the onion remains aser. You have to take it out. And even if it falls apart, you have to strain it out. Mashenkin, if it's a belua bebasar, so shach and tas paskin, like the Rami Lublin, that the butzel remains mutter. Since it never became usar, just had a blia of basar, and then that basar taste spreads into all the chalav, and you're left with less than a 60th of basar in the onion. So even though that onion fills up with milk, but you only have a tiny bit of basar in the onion, it's not able to make the milk that's in the onion basar b'chalav, so therefore everything is mutter, including the onion. Later, Achrayim disagree with that psak of the Shach and Taz, but that is the opinion of the main paskim of the Shach and Taz and the Magen Avraham. That's that if it's only below b'basar, that the onion stays mutter also.